The history of every major galactic civilization passes through three distinct and recognizable phases, those of survival, inquiry, and sophistication. For instance, the first phase is characterized by the question, how can we eat? The second by the question, why do we eat? The third by the question, where shall we have lunch? Though it will usually take a large civilization many thousands of years to pass through the how, why, and where phases, small social groupings under stressful conditions can pass through these phases with extreme rapidity. Thus...
how are we doing?
Where are we going?
I don't know.
Why not?
Shut up.
Excitement and adventure, really wild things.
Excitement and adventure and really wild things have been dogging Arthur Dent now for some days. He has, for instance, had his planet demolished to make way for a new hyperspace bypass, and has thereafter been confronted with the disconcerting knowledge that the Earth was, in any case, not what it appeared, but was, in fact, a gigantic supercomputer designed to calculate the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything, the answer to which is now known to be 42. He and his companions have, furthermore, been blasted far forward in time to the restaurant at the end of the universe, from which they are currently returning in a ship which could not, in all honesty, be said to belong to them. Can they now relax for a while and take stock? No. The ship does, in fact, belong to Disaster Area, a plutonium rock band whose stage act traditionally ends with a black stunt ship on automatic pilot crashing into the heart of a nearby sun. Of this, however, Arthur Dent and his companions are totally unaware. They decide to relax for a while and take stock.
Listen, Earthman, you've got a job to do, right? The question to the ultimate answer, right? There's a lot of loot tied up in that head thing of yours.
Yes, but where do we start? The ultimate answer's 42. What's the question? How should I know? Could be anything. I mean, what's 6 times 7?
42.
42.
Yes, I know that. I'm just saying it could be anything. Why ask me?
Because you were the last one. You were there when your planet did the big firework.
I do wish you'd stop saying that.
I know.
Ah, shut up, Marvin. This is organism talk.
It's printed in the Earthman's brainwave patterns, but I don't suppose you'll be very interested in knowing that.
You mean you can see into my mind?
Yes.
And?
It amazes me how you manage to live in anything that small.
Huh. Abuse.
Yes.
Oh, ignore him. He's only making it up.
Making it up? Why should I want to make anything up? Life's bad enough as it is without wanting to invent any more of it.
Marvin, if you knew all along, why didn't you tell us?
You didn't ask.
Well, we're asking you now, Metal Man. What's the question?
The ultimate question.
Yeah.
Of life, the universe, and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To which the answer is 42.
Yeah, come on!
I can tell you're not really interested.
I think this ship has a far better idea of where it's going than we do.
I could tell you weren't really interested.
I wonder who this ship belongs to.
Me?
No, who it really belongs to.
Really me. Property is theft, right? Therefore, theft is property. Therefore, this ship is mine.
Yeah, tell the ship that.
Ship, this is your new owner speaking to you.
Okay, Channel 9 on power, testing Channel 15. Channel 15, A-OK. The black ship is now in pre-sundive position. Put it under control of central stage coordination. Ship locked into stage computer A-OK. Stand by for sundive. Testing channel 20.
Turn it off!
Sundive? What does sundive mean?
It means the ship is going to dive into the sun. Sun, dive. It's very simple to understand. What do you expect if you steal Disaster Area's stunt ship?
Hey, Marvin. I mean, what makes you think this is Disaster Area's stunt ship?
Simple. I parked it for them.
And why? Why didn't you tell us?
You said you wanted excitement and adventure and really wild things.
This is awful.
That's what I said.
Hi there, Galactic Rock fans. Fine weather for the concert this afternoon. I'm standing here in the middle of the stage of the Cacophon Desert, and with the aid of hyperbinoptic glasses, I can just about make out the huge audience cowering there on the horizon all around us. Behind me, the huge speaker stacks rise like a sheer cliff face, and high above me, the sun is shining away and doesn't know what's gonna hit it. The environmentalist lobby, however, do know what's gonna hit it and claim the concert will cause earthquakes, tidal waves, hurricanes, irreparable damage to the atmosphere, and all the usual things environmentalists usually go on about. But I've just had a report that a representative of disaster area met with the environmentalists this morning and had them all shot. So now nothing stands in the way of the concert going ahead this afternoon on this beautiful sunny day.
You know what I'm thinking?
I think so.
Tell me what you think I'm thinking.
I think you're thinking it's time we get off this ship.
I think you're right.
I think you're right.
How?
Quiet. We're thinking.
So this is it? We're going to die?
I wish you'd stop saying that.
One of the things that Ford Prefect had always found hardest to understand about human beings was their habit of continually stating and restating the very, very obvious, as in, it's a nice day, or you're very tall, or so this is it, we're going to die. At first, Ford had formed a theory to account for this rather strange behavior. If human beings don't keep exercising their lips, he thought, their mouths probably seize up. After a while, he abandoned this theory in favor of a new one. If they don't keep exercising their lips, he thought, their brains start working. In fact, this second theory is more literally true of the Belcerebon people of Cacophon Kappa. The Belcerebons used to cause great resentment and insecurity amongst neighboring races by being one of the most enlightened, accomplished, and above all, quiet civilizations in the galaxy. As a punishment for this behavior, which was held to be offensively self-righteous and provocative, a galactic tribunal inflicted on them that most cruel of all social diseases, telepathy. Now, in order to prevent themselves broadcasting every slightest thought that crosses their minds to anyone within a 5-mile radius, they have to talk loudly and continuously about the weather, their little aches and pains, the match this afternoon, and what a noisy place Cacophon has suddenly become. Another method of temporarily blocking out their minds is to play host to a disaster area concert.
Escape capsules are there?
None.
You counted them?
Twice. You raised the stakes, crew on the radio?
Yeah. I said there was a whole bunch of people on board.
And they said?
Hi there.
You tell them who you were?
Oh, yeah. They said it was a great honor.
What does teleport mean?
What did you say?
Probably the wrong moment.
Where does it say teleport?
Well, here, under this sign that says out of order. There.
Hell's donkeys!
Seems okay. It's just the automatic guidance. Well, no, wherever it is we're going, system that's cocked up.
Who cares where we go? Let's just go.
No, someone would have to stay behind and operate it manually. Whoever it was wouldn't
escape.
Hey, Marvin kid, how you doing?
Very badly, I suspect.
How would you like to,
lay down my life selflessly for you? Make the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah.
Consign my brain, which is the size of a planet, to death in the heart of a blazing sun, so that you can all pursue your futile little lives.
Yeah. Nothing personal. You don't really count as a person, do you, kid?
All right. Better all get into the teleport.
Hey, come on, Marvin, you stupid tin can! Shift it! Oh, we really appreciate this.
I suppose some people might have expected better treatment after having waited for 576,000 million years in a car park, but not me. I may just be a menial robot, but I'm far too intelligent to expect anyone to think of me for a moment. Far too intelligent.
I don't know. Well, there's no reason why we should all end up in the same place. Ah, well.
Trillian!
That could be anywhere. So could we, for that matter.
Safe on?
What's that? Feet! Let's move. That's the way they're coming from.
No, that's the way they're coming from.
You're right.
Parlor?
Wild.
What's so great about dead people?
I don't know. What is so great about dead people? Hey, look, a plaque.
What's it say?
Golgrafincham Ark Fleet, Ship B, Hold 7, Telephone Sanitizer, Second Class. And a serial number.
Telephone sanitizer? A dead telephone sanitizer?
Best kind.
What's he doing here?
Not a lot.
Oh, this one's a hairdresser.
And this one's an advertising account executive.
Here's a second-hand car salesman, third class. Ooh, are you sure these are coffins? They're terribly cold.
All right, put your hands up and turn around slowly.
Why isn't anyone ever pleased to see us?
You're my prisoners.
All right.
Move! Move!
Move?
Move! Left, right, left, right, left, right. Keep in line. Left, right, left, right, left, right. One, two, one, two. Left, right, left, right. Left, right, left, right, left, right.
Captain?
Yes, number three.
I just had a sort of report thingy from number one.
Oh, dear.
He was shouting something or other about having found some prisoners.
Oh, well, perhaps it'll keep him happy for a bit. He's always wanted some.
Captain, sir.
Oh, hello, number one. Having a nice day?
I brought you the prisoners I located in Freezer Base 7, sir. Ah.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Excuse me not getting up, just having a quick bath. Oh, well, gin and tonics all round, then. Look in the fridge there, number three.
Certainly, sir.
Don't you want to interrogate the prisoners, sir?
Why on Golgafringham should I want to do that?
To get information out of them, sir. Find out why they came here, sir.
No. I expect they just dropped in for a quick gin and tonic, don't you?
But, sir, they're my prisoners. Can't I just interrogate them a little bit?
Oh, very well. Ask them what they want to drink.
Thank you, sir. All right. You scum. You vermin.
Steady on, number one.
What do you want to drink?
Well, gin and tonic sounds very nice to me, Arthur.
Yes.
With ice or without?
With, please.
Lemon?
Yeah. And do you have any of those little biscuits, you know, the cheesy ones?
I'm asking the questions.
Number one, push off, will you? There's a good fellow. I'm trying to take a relaxing bath.
May I respectfully remind you that you have now been in that bath for over 3 years?
Yes. Well, one needs to relax a lot in a job like mine.
Oh, yes, could I just... could I just ask you what your job is, actually?
Your drinks.
Oh, thanks. Because I couldn't help but noticing, you know, the bodies.
Bodies?
Yeah, all those dead telephone sanitizers and account executives, you know, in the hole.
They're not dead. Good Lord, no. They're just frozen. Yes, they're going to be revived.
You mean you've got a hold full of frozen hairdressers?
Oh, yes. Millions of them. Hairdressers, tired TV producers, insurance salesmen, personnel officers.
Security guards, public relations executives.
Management consultants. We're going to colonize another planet.
What?
Exciting, isn't it?
With that lot?
Don't misunderstand me. We're just one of the ships of the Ark fleet. We're the B-Ark, you see. Excuse me, I wonder, do you think you'll be kind enough to run a little bit more hot water for me?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Thanks.
Whew.
What's a B-Ark?
A B-Ark? Well, you see, what happened was that our planet was doomed.
Doomed?
Yes. So everybody said, let's pack the whole population into some giant spaceships and settle on another planet.
You mean a less doomed one?
Precisely. So it was decided to build three gigantic ships, three gigantic arcs in space. Of course, the idea was that into the first ship, the A ship, would go all the brilliant leaders, the scientists, the great artists, you know, all the achievers. And then into the third ship, the C ship, would go all the people who do the actual work, who make things and do things. And then into the B ship, that's ours, of course, would go everyone else. You know, the middlemen, and of course, we were sent off first.
What was wrong with your planet?
Well, it was doomed, as I say. Apparently, it was going to blow up or crash into the sun or some such thing.
That's not what I was told. My commanding officer swore blind that the entire planet was about to be eaten by an enormous mutant stargoat.
Oh, really?
Yes. He said how lucky I was to be going off in the first ship.
But they made sure they sent all you lot off first, anyway.
Oh, yes. And everyone said, very nicely, I thought, how important it was for morale to feel that they were arriving on another planet where you could be sure of getting a good haircut and where the phones were clean.
Yes, well, I can see that that would be very important.
Can you?
Shh. And the rest of the ships followed on after you, didn't they?
It's funny that you should mention that, because curiously enough, we haven't heard a peep out of them since we left 5 years ago. Yet they must be behind us somewhere.
Yes. Unless, of course, they're all eaten by the goat.
The goat? Well, funny. Now that I come to tell this story to someone else, huh? Don't you find it's a bit odd, number three?
Well,
Yes, it is a bit odd, though, isn't it? Yes, it's odd.
Yes, well, I can see you've all got a lot you want to talk about, so thanks for the drink. And if you could sort of drop us off at the nearest convenient planet.
Oh, I'm afraid that's a little difficult, you see. Our trajectory thingy was preset before we left Golga Frincham. I think, actually, it was partly due to the fact that I'm not really very good at figures.
You mean we're stuck here on this ship? When are you going to arrive at this planet you're meant to be colonizing?
We're nearly there. Nearly there. I should be out of this bath, in fact. Oh, I don't know, though. Why stop just when I'm enjoying it?
We are about to land, then.
Well, not exactly land, no. I think, as far as I remember, we were programmed to crash on it.
Crash?
Yes, there was some reason for it, but for the life of me, I can't remember what it was now.
You're all a lot of useless bloody loonies!
Yes, that was it. That was the reason. Yes.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has this to say about the planet of Golgafrinchum. It is a planet with an ancient and mysterious history, in which the most mysterious figures are those of the great circling poets of Ariel. It was, of course, a descendant of these eccentric poets who invented these spurious tales of impending doom, which enabled the people of Golgafrinchum to rid themselves of the useless third of their population. The other two-thirds stayed at home and lived full, rich and happy lives until they were all suddenly wiped out by a virulent disease contracted from a dirty telephone. Meanwhile, the remaining useless third have crash-landed into the prehistoric dawn of a small blue-green planet at the unfashionable end of the western spiral arm of the galaxy.
It's odd, isn't it?
With them are Arthur Dent and Ford Prefect. They, too, have been travelling widely in distant lands.
Very odd. That's what I thought.
Something is bothering them.
It's very, very odd. There is one way to find out, of course.
What, you mean by going to...
Yes.
All right.
I said it was odd.
Yes, I remember you saying how odd you thought it was.
I can hardly believe it.
I find it very easy to believe things.
I wonder how the Golgafrinchians are doing.
Do you?
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if you could call the meeting some sort of order. Just get started.
All right.
I'm sure we ought to start.
All right.
Light is going.
All right, I'd like to call this meeting some sort of order, if that's at all possible.
Fancy a light trim, sir?
Not now. I'm in the bath.
Anyone else like one?
Please. We're trying to have a meeting. Now, if you'd all care to look at the agenda.
Hello?
What? Hello? What? Who?
Hello?
Who's that?
Remember me? I've made a discovery. I'd like to tell you about.
Is it on the agenda?
Agenda?
I'm sorry, but speaking as a fully trained management consultant, I must insist on the importance of the committee structure.
On a prehistoric planet?
Address the chair.
There isn't a chair, there's only a rock.
Well, call it a chair.
Why not call it a rock?
Will you two shut up? I want a table a motion.
Boulder a motion, you mean?
Thank you, I've made that point.
Order, order.
Look, if I could just say...
Order, order.
I would like to call to order the 573rd meeting of the Colonization Committee of the planet of Flintlewoodlewicks.
Ah, this is futile. 573 committee meetings, you haven't even discovered fire yet.
If you would care to look at the agenda, you will see that we're having a report from the Hairdressers Fire Development Subcommittee today.
That's me.
So we have every expectation of moving rapidly towards a state of pyrotechnology.
What have you done?
Naturally, the development committee
need more time. They gave me a couple of sticks.
Yes? And? Curling tongs? You're going to die out, you know that, don't you?
You are obviously being totally naive about that. Look, when you've been in marketing as long as I have, you'll know that before any new product can be developed, it has to be properly researched. I mean, we've got to find out what people want from fire. You know, how they relate to it, the image.
Stick it up your nose.
Which is precisely the kind of thing we need to know. I mean, do people want fire that can be fitted nasally?
And the wheel.
What about this wheel thing? They say it's a fascinating project.
Yeah, well, we are having a little difficulty there.
Oh. Yeah. Difficulty? It's the single simplest machine in the entire universe.
All right, Mr. Wise Guy, you're so clever. You tell us what color it should be.
Oh, almighty Zarquan. Has no one done anything yet?
Yes.
I have declared war on the next continent.
Declared war? There's no one even living there.
Yes, but there will be one day. So we've left a sort of open-ended ultimatum.
What?
And blown up a few military installations.
Military installations, number two?
Yes, sir. Well, potential military installations. All right, please. And we interrogated a gazelle.
Yes, and one of our surviving film producers rescued a camera from the wreckage. He wants to make a documentary about you, Captain.
Oh, that's awfully nice.
Yeah, he's got a really strong angle on it. You know, the burden of responsibility, the loneliness of command.
Oh, I wouldn't overstress that angle. After all, one's never alone with a rubber duck.
if we could, for a moment, move on to the subject of fiscal policy.
Fiscal policy? How can you have money if none of you actually produces anything? Doesn't grow on trees, you know.
But since we decided a few weeks ago to adopt the leaf as legal tender, we have all, of course, become immensely rich. But we have run into a small inflation problem owing to the high level of leaf availability, which means that I gather the current going rate is something like 3 major deciduous forests buying 1 ship's peanut. So in order to obviate this problem and effectively revalue the leaf, we've decided on an extensive campaign of defoliation and burn down all the forests. I think that's a sensible move, don't you?
Fiscal issue. Fiscal issue.
You're mad. You know that, don't you?
Is it perhaps appropriate to inquire what you have been doing all this time? I mean, you and that other interloper have been missing for months.
We've been traveling. We've, trying to find out something about this world.
That does not sound very productive to me.
No?
No.
Well, have I got news for you? It doesn't matter a pair of fetid dingo's kidneys what you do from now on. Burn down the forests. Anything. It won't make a scrap of difference. You see, I've seen your future. 2 million years you've got, and that's it. At the end of that time, your race will be dead, gone, and good riddance. Remember that? 2 million years.
Strange chap. Look, what about this documentary thing?
Just time for another bath. Sponge somebody?
No, honestly, no. Y scores 5, you see, and it's on a triple word score. I'm sorry, I explained the rules. No, please. Put down the jawbone. All right, we'll start again. Only please try and concentrate this time.
Hi, Arthur. What you doing?
I'm trying to teach the cavemen to play Scrabble. It's uphill work. The only word they know is un, and they don't know how to spell it.
What's the point in that?
We've got to make them evolve. Can you imagine what a world would be like descended from those cretins over there?
Imagine we don't have to. We've seen it.
Oh, but honestly.
We've seen it. There's no escape.
But did you tell them what we discovered?
What?
Norway, Slartibartfast signature on the glacier.
What's the point? What did it mean to them?
Mean? It means that this is the Earth, my home. It's where I was born.
Was?
All right, will be.
In 2 million years' time, you tell them that, see what they say. They'll chase you up a tree and set fire to it. Listen, Arthur, face it. Those Zeebs over there, your ancestors, not the cavemen, put the scrubber board away. It's not going to save the human race, because this isn't it. The human race is currently standing around a bath over there making documentaries about themselves.
But surely we can do something.
No, nothing. It's all been done. We've seen it. You know the history of the Earth. You know that in 2 million years' time, it gets demolished by the Vogons to make way for a hyperspace bypass. You can't change anything.
And all because the Golga Frinchens arrived here on their B-Ark.
Oh, well.
Poor bloody caveman.
It's all been a bit of a waste of time for you, hasn't it? Out-evolved by a telephone sanitizer.
He's pointing at the Scrabble board.
Oh, he's probably spelt library again with one R.
No, he hasn't.
No, look! The experiment. 42. Deep Thought's answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and whatever it was.
Everything.
Everything.
42.
Course. The experiment to find the question of that answer is going on all around us, here. The earth, the ground, the trees, the water, the rocks, the cavemen.
Terrific.
What?
We've cocked it up.
What do you mean?
The Golgrafinchums, us, just by arriving here. The caveman is part of the program, and they're dying out because of us. Therefore, no question.
What about my brain?
What about your brain?
Marvin said the question was printed in my brainwave patterns.
All right. Wrong question. It's still cocked up.
Well, it might give us a clue.
Well, if it's in your brain, how are we going to get at it?
Well, how about... If it's in my brain, and I don't know how to reach it, suppose we introduce some random element which could be shaped by the brainwave pattern.
Such as?
Pulling out letters from the Scrabble bag.
Brilliant!
Right!
Right!
Right. First four letters.
W. H. A. T. What? Great, it's working. B O Y Doy. Doyo. U G Doyug. Ah, it E. Do you get? What? Do you get? If Y O U M U U Mull. T, I, P, Y, multiply. S, I, X, 6, by, N, I, N, E, 9. 6 by 9. Is that it?
That's it.
6 by 9? 42?
I always said there was something fundamentally wrong with the universe. All for that.
Yep.
It's very sad, you know. Just at the moment, it's a very beautiful planet.
It is. It is indeed. The rich primal greens, the river snaking off into the distance, the burning forests.
And then in 2 million years, bang, it gets destroyed by the Vogons. What a life for a young planet to look forward to. What a waste.
Well, better than some. I read of one planet up in the seventh dimension, got used as a ball in a game of intergalactic bar billiards, got potted straight into a black hole, killed 10 billion people.
Madness. Total madness.
Yeah. And scored 30 points, too.
Where'd you read that?
Oh, a book.
What book?
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I think.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I think to myself, what a wonderful world.